Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 106 of the Mom Hour. I am Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers. And today we're talking about technology and family travel, how to be smart about the screens and bits of technology that we use while we're traveling with our kids. And we've got a great sponsor to start the show with. So Sarah, you want to go into that?
Absolutely. So our first sponsor today is the Share Your Photos app. This is a free app for iPhone or Android devices. And it's a photo sharing app, especially for if you've been on a vacation or been to a family event like a reunion or a wedding. You know how not everybody has the cloud or not everyone's on right. social media, and you end up wanting to kind of put all the photos in one place from everybody. So that's what Share Your Photos does. It's a free and easy way to share photos with friends and family who've all been to the same events. You can upload unlimited photos and videos, and that album is there forever, just shared among the people who you want to share it with. So
I love that. Instead of like sending like an emailed
email, like big group text inevitably can't open or can't
and annoys everyone.
It's a relatively new app and such a smart idea. So go to shareyourphotos.com, and that is the best place to download it for free for your Android or iPhone.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, let's start this topic, huh?
So here's how I want to set the stage. I feel like we have this romantic notion of going on vacation and unplugging from all our devices, or going away with our family and being less tied to the iPads and the phones. And I want to say up front that I get that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to get there, number one.
Right. And that's what I was just going to say. The getting there is not always half the fun, you know?
And if you have little kids or young kids, if you're going to enjoy yourself at all as a parent on this vacation, there has to be some screen time. I mean, I feel free to argue with me. I would love to hear from those who truly go off the grid for a few days. And I know it's possible, but that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about going off the grid today. We're talking about staying on the grid, plugged in, at least while you get there and while you can take a little, you know,
to moment. Me, this is one of those things that's easy to wax nostalgic about, you know, when we were kids and did road trips without tech.
Totally.
But I bet if our parents, you know, like if we could go back in time, I bet our parents would be like, could you bring that iPad with you for the future? Because it does make a big difference. And I mean, for me, it's kind of one of those things like there's time for screens and there's times not for screens. And we make a conscious decision as a family to put them away when it matters, but they're there for when everyone just needs to tune out from each other for a little while. So
exactly.
I love this topic. And Sarah, you've got little kids still. I will say most of my kids now manage their own tech for the most part on trips. Like they are responsible for their own chargers, their own earbuds, all that stuff. But you've got like little ones and it's a little more complicated. So we're going to kind of flip-flop roles today. And I'm going to be driving the bus sort of.
Yeah.
And you're going to be, you know, probably doing the bulk of the actual advising, but I've definitely got some things to say.
Yeah, I feel like you always sneak in.
I can never be quiet.
Big picture advice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think a good place to start is just like, how do we keep all this stuff organized and charged and even before we
and
leave
what do
the
you
house?
Even dis- and what do you even bring? Like when you're packing, what actually makes the cut and what doesn't?
Exactly.
So Sarah, take this part away and I'll weigh in, you know, when I have thoughts.
So I kind of wanted to start with what we do in our family before we leave. And I have learned the hard way. This means not just 15 minutes before we leave.
Right.
Because some of this takes time. So obviously you want to charge everything. But you and I, when we were coming up with tips, both said like, yeah, you got to charge everything. Duh. It sounds like duh.
Right.
I have specific memories of like the car being packed and everyone kind of twiddling their thumbs because some iPad is at like 72% and we know we need
you
it.
You need that last 28%. Well, and because my kids are older and most of them are in charge of their own tech, this becomes tricky sometimes because even though they're, I mean, they also know that things run out of battery, right?
Right.
But they still, like one of them will. So with the younger ones, we do ask that they leave their stuff on the table or in a central location plugged in overnight.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't end up like in their room being used and then the plug falls out or whatever. So I'm still kind of on them about that stuff. The younger ones, the older ones, whatever, if they're dumb enough to let their phone die, then
it's a natural
too bad for them.
Yep. So yeah, charge everything. And I don't know if people know this, but at least on iOS devices, I always like to close out of any apps that are running in the background while it's charging. I believe that helps it charge faster. And certainly once it is charged, you don't want things running in the background that don't need to be. So the iPads that our kids use might have 25 games open if I'm not careful enough to do that little double click on the home button and just close out all those things. So that's one little tip. The other couple things in advance, software updates. We have these two mini iPads that the kids use, and we're not great about, they don't need to be that robust when they're just at home on Wi-Fi. So sometimes we don't do the software updates right away, but I have found that doing that before travel can just avoid, I don't know, it feels like some games don't work if you're not up to date, or it's just a good time to update the software on your device before you leave. So these are things, you know, you can do days in advance of leaving, but it feels like you just don't want to be caught in that situation where something's not up to date or your iPad's giving you a weird prompt. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be the thing that confuses the kid that's, you know, two seats over from you and it becomes the passing back and forth.
Mom!
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So what about downloading stuff before?
Oh my gosh. I have forgotten to do this so many times. Like, you know, we're all on our way out the door. Like, there's so much hectic going on. And then I realized we didn't actually give the kids anything to do without internet.
Yes.
And I'm not going to pay for, you know, five children to have internet on their plane.
Right.
Sometimes there is free internet in the airport, and I have relied on that before, but usually not enough to download
and
anything
sometimes it's slow.
Of size. And it's slow. And sometimes you only get like half an hour for free. Yeah,
right.
So, so don't forget, like, I actually add that now to my checkoff list, like before we go the day before, remember to download stuff. Don't wait till the morning of, like you said, don't wait till 15 minutes before you're on your way out the
door. It always takes longer than you think. It's like the watched pot not boiling.
Yeah,
like, come on. And yeah, I agree. I feel like since Wi-Fi seems everywhere, this gets harder and harder to remember, because I feel like I almost used to be better about this because there wasn't Wi-Fi on planes.
Yes.
And so it was a no-brainer. Now we can just assume that there's Wi-Fi everywhere.
And kids are really naive about Wi-Fi. Like, I just realized that my kids have been under this impression that Wi-Fi just is everywhere.
Right.
And all you have to do is just tap into it. Like, if you just know the passcode, you too can have
Wi-Fi. Like, what
is
the passcode?
Right. But I'm like, sometimes, I've had my kids say, like, Mom, can you just set up a hotspot? I'm like, no, because there has to be something, like, my phone doesn't get a signal here, so I can't set up a hotspot. And they're just looking at me like, what? They just don't understand that sometimes.
The funny thing is, by the time they're adults, that's probably how it will be. Like, they're literally
I'm sure you're right.
Global Wi-Fi
will just, because it's their expectation now. They're like, well, why wouldn't it be?
One of them will invent it when they're like,
oh, and actually asked me today. He's like, Mom, do you have to pay for Wi-Fi? And I said, well, yeah, it's part of our internet, from part of our cable package. He said, I just kind of thought it was this thing that you got a router and then you should just be able to pull it, you know, like out of the air. Like, he really, he almost felt that it was a basic human right.
Isn't that so interesting?
Like clean water and Wi-Fi.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, on the same subject of downloading, and by the way, later in the episode, we're going to get into what kinds of things we like to download and what kinds of things our kids like to play. So now we're just talking about, like, how do you get out the door with devices that support you? But a couple other things on the same note is good time to delete apps that take up a lot of space. So those same mini iPads that have been, you know, working for our kids for years now don't have a lot of space. And so I will often delete apps and games that, even if I know they use them, just temporarily for the travel, if I'm downloading movies, because there's just not enough space. So all of that takes a bunch of time. Good to add to your list, you know, a couple of days before you go. Let's see. Oh,
did you talk about chargers and cords and stuff yet?
Yeah. How do you guys handle that?
So we do have, like, all of our cords and chargers are mostly labeled. I will say, in our family, like, most, we don't all have the same kinds of devices. Like, not everyone has the same kind of phone. And, like, Clara has a Kindle, other kids have small computers, some kids have phones or iPads, whatever. So sometimes it's not necessary, but most things are labeled. But we just, I don't know, roll them up and put them in each kid's backpack. So for us, it's, or if they have a computer, into their computer bag.
Yeah.
With that, it makes it kind of harder because there's more moving parts, and it's like chasing cats or herding cats or whatever the thing is sometimes. Like, where's all the chargers? And everyone's like, I don't know. And then they have to all go on this manhunt for their chargers.
Right.
But we also don't have one bag where there's just this huge mass of, you know, chargers. So that's how we do it. But yeah, and our kids are older. So.
Yeah. And I have made the mistake of thinking, because we do have, we just have iPads, and then either Brian or I usually bring a laptop, and then phones. But a lot of those have all the same, you know, Apple devices have very similar or compatible chargers. Yes. But I have made the mistake of thinking once we get there, we'll just share.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can if it's that important to you. But does it take that much space to bring? We maybe don't bring one per device, but we definitely bring more than one for the all of the devices.
Yeah.
So
I have now before, when I've done that before, but I've had compatible devices only if the charger is really heavy. I have packed one of my chargers in my bag that I check.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then just carry one, because, you know, honestly, if we're just doing a quick charge like in the airport or something, we're probably not going to take up all the chargers anyway. So we maybe would just swap it. So something like that, because those do get heavy. And when you're carrying stuff to the airport and you've got like all this other stuff and snacks and everything else that it takes to travel with kids, sometimes just not having that big, heavy computer charger makes a difference. But otherwise, I'm with you. Just it's bring all the chargers.
I agree. And I only recently started labeling them just with our family name, not individual kids' names.
Oh, okay.
Because we'll go to my parents' house or on some kind of group family vacation, and I will inevitably leave them there because, you know, it's family. It's my parents or my brother and sister, but that's a good way to lose all your chargers. So it's not like I'm not going to share with other people who are staying in the same house, but I do want to come home with the ones we brought. And
absolutely.
They all look identical.
We've run into that. So, we've run into that issue before as well.
Yeah. So. But yeah, in terms of storing cords and chargers, I know there are, you know, products out there that are kind of cool to keep them organized and untangled. One of my best solutions is like a little makeup bag, because I feel like stuff folds up and it's about the right size. So they can't spread out to infinity, and you can sort of, you know, wrap them in a circle and then keep them contained. So
contained.
I don't know. I have
an old, that's a good idea.
Like an old cosmetic
probably bag. Like Ziploc bags would work as well.
Yeah.
I've just never done that, but yeah.
Awesome.
I'm sure that there are now, I'm going to go probably looking right now and find some kind of beautiful fancy bag, and I'm going to want it, which is fine too. Whatever makes you happy.
Nice. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, and one more thing I charge for those of you who bring your DSLR camera on vacation, which sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. But I have batteries that charge for that too. So when I'm doing my big, massive charge day before we go, charging those camera batteries, because I don't always have that camera out all the time, and so it's a bummer to like be really excited to take nice photos on vacation and then no camera battery. So
you didn't actually say what you pack yet, did you?
No
like, let's, what do you take on that? Okay,
yeah, let's do that. So just for refresher, my kids right now are 9, 7, and 4, so really reliant on devices, at least on long car trips and airplanes. So we have two mini iPads. I love the mini size for little hands. They've never complained that the screens are too small. They're cheaper. They fit really nicely in a purse. I guess it's about the size of like a Kindle Fire. It's kind of that 5x9 size. Mm-hmm. So we've always had those for the kids. One is like 6 years old maybe, and the other's like 4 years old. They're pretty old, but they do the job. Brian has a normal size iPad that it's actually his for work, but we will bring it on family trips so that we can have one per kid when we need. And then we usually bring one of our laptops, and it's usually for if one of us is going to be working on vacation, but we will also use it to put a movie on either for ourselves or the kids. So that's four playable screens for five family members, which is a pretty good ratio. I sometimes bring my DSLR camera. We do have a Jetpack remote wireless. Do you set up hotspots on your phone? Do you have
No, I don't have a. Oh, actually, I take that back. We do have a Verizon one. I don't know if that's called a Jetpack or not.
I think that's what ours is too.
I sometimes bring it. I sometimes forget it. It's never been something, unless we've been like really remote somewhere where Verizon's the only kind of signal. Because on our phones, we have T-Mobile, which I have to say I really hate. Verizon is awesome. Has awesome coverage. And T-Mobile, I feel like, it's cheaper,
right,
which is why we went with it, but it doesn't have the best coverage when we're out and about. So there have been times I've been like, oh, we should have brought that. But really that only happens when we're, I don't know, like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, where that's been, or sometimes inside of a building.
Right.
That's got like an older building.
Yeah.
I'll have trouble getting T-Mobile, but I could get Verizon, but it doesn't happen that often. So have one, very, very rarely use it.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't buy one, but Brian has one for work.
Shh. Oh, okay.
So we have used it on long car trips. So, but that would be where you would set up a hotspot. So if listeners don't know, it comes with your cellular plan and it allows you to set up wireless using your cellular connection, correct?
Right.
But you do it all on your phone. It doesn't
require... And I'm pretty sure it is an additional like service.
It is, because I don't have it. I always ask Brian, I'm like, Megan just sets up a hotspot. He's like, we don't have that. So
like, Megan does it.
I know.
Megan does it.
How do I do this?
Yeah.
So either one of those is some kind of a remote wireless situation. And when we've most used it is long car trips. I always try and get Violet. I try to explain. It's going back to the same thing. I try to explain which shows she can watch that are already downloaded on the iPad, but she's so used to streaming, you know, Netflix or streaming Disney Junior that inevitably I give in. So that's when we've used the remote wireless. I know a lot of people rely on like remote chargers. Do you know what I mean? Like the thing that you
those
plug
things
into.
You take with you. Yep.
Yeah. I don't have one. My brother was just in town and was raving about his. So I will throw a link to that in the show notes. But I was curious if you.
And I have one and I love it.
Okay.
I am somebody who, first of all, I use my phones until they're kind of dying.
Yeah.
So and, unless I break them, which I've also done before. But like, I don't really upgrade to phones until I have to, either because the screen is completely cracked and terrible or because the phone is like on its last legs. So my phones will stop, you know, they don't hold a charge that well after a while. So it's really nice to have something you can bring with you if you're not going to be having access to any kind of outlet.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those, it's just nice to have. It's a real, it's a nice to have, I guess. It's not a must have, but it's good for families where someone forgets or where a device is draining battery quickly.
Yeah. And a lot of the things you do on vacation drain battery faster than they would. GPS drains it really fast. Anytime you're like your phone's trying to pull from wireless that's intermittent or whatever. So I have noticed the battery goes faster, goes down faster on vacation anyway. Well, maybe we can link, if you like yours, let's link to that in the show notes.
Yeah,
and then,
for sure.
Like I said, my brother was just raving about his. So headphone, I want to talk about my, the headphones we have for the kids because they are cheap as dirt and not fancy and they've lasted us forever. So they are a Sony Youth headphone. They're like over the ears, like they almost look vintage. Like they look like what you would have listened to your Walkman with. They're black, but they're child size and they have volume control so the kids cannot, little kids can't turn it up and blast their ears, which is good because that's not actually good for your ears. But they still fit Allegra, who has almost an adult sized head. And they have the little foam covers. So they don't go in the ear like earbuds. They're the old school kind. And they have the little foam circular covers. Mm-hmm. And those you can buy for, again, dirt cheap replacement on Amazon. So I know there's a lot of like cute branded, you know, your kid's favorite Disney character headphones and some other fancy kid ones. These have gotten so much mileage for us and they have not broken other than the foam ear things, you know, get ratty and we replace them. I think they're $12. I'll link to them. And the best thing is that the kids don't fight over them because they are all the same color. So,
nice. Okay. Yeah.
So
my kids all have Clara has also over the ear, like old fashioned headphones.
Yeah.
Hers are really cool. I'll have to find out what the brand is because I know they weren't super expensive and she likes them a lot and we've had them
I
for
remember
a long time.
Seeing her use them
the little aqua ones with
cute.
The gold
yes they were super cute
gold. Yeah they're very very cute and they are also made for children so they don't get super loud and because you know kids are so not self-aware when they're listening to loud stuff they're like mom what's going on over there they're like yelling at you and you're like just take it out
or they try to have a conversation but they can't hear you it's like no
take it off. Another of my kids have like a good set of headphones which I think were a Christmas gift and I think everyone else just uses like standard issue earbuds. We've gone through a lot of earbuds in our family. I feel like someone's always losing them and then they turn back up, you know. I'll track down what Clara's are called.
And then we just bring earbuds for ourselves, just regular earbuds for ourselves. But I also want to talk about my headphone splitter, which is by Belkin. So a splitter, if you don't know, you know, plugs into one device, but then multiple people can plug in headphones to listen to the same. And we've had a few because I always tend to leave them somewhere. I've lost a few. But this one's by Belkin and is five ways. So I'll link to it. And so all three of the kids have watched a movie. This is usually if we get to a hotel room or get somewhere, they'll watch a movie on the iPad or on the computer with three sets of headphones and they're quiet and there's lots of times for not wanting that, you know, audio to just come out for everyone or when the kids want you to turn it up and it's not a good time to turn it up. So
no, we've had a splitter in the past too. I think we still have one. We just don't use it as much now because we don't share as much tech. But they're really nice to have, especially when like you've got kids close enough in age that they're doing the same stuff or if you don't want to carry a device per person.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. So we've used them on airplanes. And actually, Brian and I have used it like after if we're all in the same hotel room, we'll use it after the kids are in bed and watch something on a laptop and have the sound just going into our ears. So we look like two dorks sitting there with split headphones. But so get yourself a splitter. And I will link to mine. It's by Belkin and it has all five ways. So literally my entire family could be plugged in at once. I don't think we've ever done that. But
that's awesome. We're similar to you. Like I always carry my laptop because I pretty much could have to work at any moment or it's nice to have it to have the availability. I usually just I either work or I zone out and listen to music on my phone in the airplane. Right. I don't really do a lot of I've never been like a TV watcher on an airplane. But Clara has, you know, her own device. Like everyone pretty much has their own device.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing that's become tricky as they get older is two of my kids have school issued laptops. We did purchase insurance on them, but I kind of have this like thing. Part of me is like, okay, so we paid for this thing, right? Even though it's school issued, you still have to pay a fee to use it.
Right.
And I'm like, so we should be able to take it with us. And he already has this device. And why should he have to have another one?
Right.
Like, couldn't everything be sort of inclusive? And then there's a little part of me that's like, but this is her school and you shouldn't be taking it 2,000 miles away on vacation. So I kind of got back and forth. It's William and Isaac. So typically they're okay. Like they're not, you know, it's been fine.
I would think that would be fine.
Well, and I
hear you.
I think they assume that's what's happening. That's right. That's why the insurance is an option. The other option is you can make it mandatory that your kid leave their laptop at the end of the day at school. Like you can sign a paper that says they're not allowed to take it home. For me, it was always like, well, part of the point is he's going to use this for homework. And if he doesn't use this one, he has to use some other one. And then there's all the moving back and forth of files or having to have different passwords saved on one computer. And it's just, it's just easier this way.
Do they have those over the summer? I'm just curious. Or do they turn them
in? That's a really good question. I don't know. I think maybe they turn them back in.
Yeah, interesting. Obviously my kids are younger. There is a program through school, but it's more the opposite. The default is to leave it at school. You can opt to bring it home. And, you know, as kids get older, people do. But we didn't do that yet this year.
Yeah. Yeah, this is definitely a middle school, like older middle school and up thing here. And
So
it's not the younger kids. Yeah. We also have a mini iPad that has always been great for sets of kids to use together.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, everyone just kind of use. And, you know, one thing was when you were talking, I was thinking it was interesting that's changed a lot for me is that 3 or 4 years ago, I would have been the hand my phone to a kid on the plane person.
Right.
And nobody touches my phone anymore. The only person who ever uses my phone is Clara. Every now and then I will allow her to like your Instagram photos.
Oh yes.
Sarah.
She likes to look at my Instagram.
But that is a rare thing.
It's a special treat.
Clara will Sarah will text me like, oh, looks like Clara has been liking Instagram photos. Cause suddenly she'll sometimes unlike all the ones I already liked and then go back and like them again.
Like just 65 so she can, in a row.
Yeah,
makes 60. Me feel really good. It's a nice ego boost.
You're like, wow, notifications are blowing up. When everyone started getting their own stuff and got older, I just decided to draw a line between my tech, which is mostly for work and very important and expensive and not really something I can easily replace, and theirs. And so that's become easier to do. But I know that's tough when they're little. It's just that's been something that just kind of happened over the last couple of years.
Right.
And it was funny. I was just thinking no one uses my stuff at all anymore. And that used to be the default. So,
well, I'm glad you brought that up because something I meant to mention earlier when we were talking about downloading is don't forget to download something for yourself, even if your kids are little. I've totally done this where if you are a mom of little ones, you're used to being on 100% of the time.
Right.
But what happens to us, especially on airplanes, is my kids are so excited to have basically unfettered screen access because we're pretty limited at home normally that they're all of a sudden completely occupied, all three of them. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, I didn't even so much as download a podcast. And podcasts are something I like to listen to on planes, but I don't have mine set to download as a default.
I just stream
them normally because I think it would be fine now, but I was running into space and storage issues a long time ago. And plus I subscribe to a lot of podcasts and don't listen to them all. So I ended up with all this stuff. So don't forget to download something for yourself, a show to watch or a podcast to listen to. It's like put the mask on yourself before helping someone else. Because I've totally gotten stuck on an airplane airplane with nothing but the airline magazine to read because I took care of everyone else's.
I get that totally. Yeah, I always have at least a few episodes of a podcast downloaded and ready for me. So that's never been like an issue. I don't know. You use iTunes, right? Or Apple App Podcasts. It's really hard to remember that.
I have it, but I actually use Pocket Casts for my regular listening, which is not free. It's like $4, but I really like the interface. I have Apple Podcasts on my phone, and there's certain podcasts I'll go to, especially ones the kids like. So I use it as an alternative. But for me, I really like Pocket Casts.
I need to check that out. But I will say, for me, one thing that I like about Apple Podcasts is, and I also am subscribed to a ton of podcasts, but it stops downloading automatically after three. So if I haven't listened to something in a while, it just kind of falls off.
Yeah.
The downside to that is sometimes it's like I'll get on a plane and be like, gosh, you know what I'd really love to listen to right now? X podcast that I haven't listened to in, you know, 3 months. And then I go back and there's like only the old.
Right.
The
episodes are all three old. Three episodes, but they're all 9 months old.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So that has happened. And then I just use that opportunity to catch up. But it's, again, adding to your list, like, hey, mom, check out your own stuff.
Yes.
That counts too. Yeah.
Totally
whatever that
does.
Is.
Totally does. It's also fun. I mean, I think vacation's a fun time to try a new podcast or try, you know, read an ebook or do something different for yourself. A couple more sort of tech related things I wanted to mention really quickly that don't have to do with screens and tablets is that we used to travel with is a small white noise machine for sleeping babies. And the one that I had was Graco, and it was pretty good. I always wish they were louder. I like white noise. Yeah. Like, it sounds like a freight train running in the background. But it was pretty good. And it took up a decent amount of space, but when we were going on a big trip, it was worth it. Just because, you know, the sleep situation with really little ones, it just does help to block out some things. And then you guys know my super early risers are not allowed out of their room before 6 o'clock. And we've always used that good night light. It's the little night light that turns into a sun when it's time to wake up.
Yeah.
And it seemed kind of like silly or frivolous to bring that. But I have had kids wake up at 3:30 in the morning, and especially with time changes and stuff, and be like, well, why isn't it time to wake up? So I have packed that, and it just turns into a sun at whatever time you tell it to.
Right.
So those are other examples of tech. We don't bring those anymore, but they got me through some not so good vacation sleeping nights.
Right.
So I thought I'd mention them.
So Sarah, when you're actually in the car or like on the plane, let's talk about that next.
Yes,
because is like, how is all this get used?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I know a lot of places now have the, you know, it's gate to gate. So the kids don't have to have everything stashed away necessarily.
Right.
Before takeoff. Do you use them on takeoff?
We do. I will say that it helps to set my kids' expectations about when they're going to be able to use their device, because they get so excited that like they want to use it in the car on the way to the airport. And then
while they drain all the battery.
Then you're draining battery and you're constantly be like, well, now we got to go through security. So
put it away or take it back out. Yeah,
we've always told them that you don't get to use it until your butt is in the seat on the plane. And then if we end up at the gate with like 45 minutes to sit there and wait, then it's kind of like a bonus. Like, okay, it looks like there's a little bit of time, but I don't promise that because, you know, sometimes the whole time in the airport, you're going from A to B and going to the bathroom and getting snacks. And so I don't want to promise it. So we do with the mini iPads. Yeah, there's no issue anymore. Takeoff, landing. I do remember that. I you know, it has only been maybe 3 or 4 years since they changed that. So I have been on flights with little kids where you had to wait until you were in the air. But
yeah,
we pretty much let them use it the whole time. And car rides, you know, I have sometimes set some limits, and we're going to get into like how not to go overboard in a little bit. But if we've had like a 5-hour car ride, Reed would really he would play Angry Birds for 5 hours straight, and then he would be a nightmare. So, you know, pretty much it's unlimited and they just use it. But depending on the situation, I have sometimes set some limits.
Yeah. And I will say, like, we try also to not let them, like, if it's a long car ride, for us to get to the airport is 2 hours.
Right.
So, you know, if it's going to be a 2-hour car ride to the airport, I'm not going to say don't use your device, but I will be like, guys, remember, you know, this may drain all of it and then you won't have it on the plane. And again, with older kids, they can deal if that happens. Sometimes they'll all make a conscious decision to like combine resources and two of them will listen to the same, you know, music on the same and then on the car. And then when they get there or in the car, we'll do a lot of listening to like Spotify playlists as a family so that all of us are being entertained and It's not that big of a deal. But one thing I do say, this is always stresses me out when you're approaching the airport. I will always tell everyone to put all of their stuff, like start packing it up like half an hour before we get there.
Yes.
Because I always think it's going to be that moment where we get there and we have to kind of rush to get to our plane. And oh, look, no one put their stuff away and no one's shoes are on and all that stuff. So
yes, that is pretty much a nightmare. That's funny. One thing I was going to say, too, about the road trips is make sure whoever's got the navigation going, that phone is plugged in. I mean, that I feel like drains battery faster than anything. So and then shut that GPS off when you don't need it, or put your phone in low power mode or something. I feel like
that's the killer.
Yeah. I have a couple things before we take a break about once we're actually at our destination. Is that a good
snap? Yeah, but first I wanted to mention one thing about being on the airplane, because I'm really curious. Do you purchase Wi-Fi on the plane ever?
No, I usually do it when I'm by myself. If I'm traveling by myself, it's a treat, and then I usually work.
So I sometimes do, because because my kids are older, it's easy for me to work on the plane. Once they're all settled, I don't need to do a lot of... It's kind of just helping them with their snacks, their snack selection. Yes. That's about it. So I do buy Wi-Fi. I shamelessly lie to my kids about it, because if they knew I was on like really online, I'll say things like, oh, I'm just working on something I had saved on my computer.
Right.
There have been times before that I've gotten Wi-Fi for one device, like if it's a really long flight.
Right.
And then we've passed the device around and everyone gets it, or they can choose to share it for an hour and, you know, get more use out of it. But I will say, I want to put in a plug for Southwest, which is my very favorite. I fly Southwest whenever I can. And one of the reasons is they do have free entertainment. So it's really limited. Like, it's TV and some movies. And it might mean that your kids end up watching like some random show on the Cooking Channel the whole time or something. But it's fine. It's something for them to do. It's just like 20 minute episodes of this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
And it's something for them to feel like they're plugged in, even though they're kind of in this little... I don't know, they're in this little box they can't get out of.
Totally.
But it, you know, it feels special. There's shows they probably wouldn't watch at home. There's sometimes some Animal Planet shows.
Yeah.
Not usually cartoons.
Yeah, sometimes just the novelty.
Yes.
And getting to choose, like I like
and
that.
And because Southwest has, you can check like 2 bags for free. I like that a lot too, because that means a lot of the unnecessary tech that we want for when we get there.
Right.
Can be, and I wouldn't check a computer.
Right.
But like we said before, cords and things like a white noise machine, stuff like that can get heavy. And so I like being able to kind of, I don't know, not have to worry about paying $50 for another bag.
I also think Southwest people are really nice. I know that's
they are really nice.
It is. We used to do Southwest a lot when they were babies. And one of the best things was obviously choosing your own seats. But we used to go purposely to the very, very, very back of the plane, which is not desirable to most people. But often we could get a whole row. We were near the bathroom. This is when I'm talking about when we were like an infant and a toddler, and we flew quite a bit. So I love Southwest, too. I think we've covered a lot. I had a couple more things for when you're at your destination, just simple things. One is just pick a central location for charging and storing the devices while you're there. I feel like accidents are so much more likely to happen because you're out of your element. If you're staying, whether it's a hotel or a rental house, you know, either you're losing stuff, you're spilling. Don't you feel like you're just out of your element?
Or like dumb stuff, like kids will plug in a screen device of some sort and it ends up like under a pillow and then someone jumps on the pillow.
Yes,
like
exactly.
Stupid stuff like
you're
that.
Just out of your routine. So pick one central location, you know, just like you put your clothes away in the drawers if you're going to be there more than a night or whatever. Have a little place for the devices, and that way everybody knows where the chargers are. You can rotate charging, just like we were talking about earlier. And then another kind of unrelated but still tech related thing I do is, because I'm an obsessive photo taker both on the camera and my phone, is I ruthlessly delete as I go. We've done a whole episode on
photo storage.
But like, I take so many pictures and there's so many great photo ops, but it's so hard for me to get back from a vacation and have 700 pictures. So while the kids are resting or napping or everyone's having downtime, I will use that. And it's also a great thing to do on an airplane if you don't have Wi-Fi.
I was going to say, when you don't have Wi-Fi,
Is just go through the day's photos or the half day's photos and delete all those silly duplicates and screenshots of your plane ticket and all those things.
Right.
You'll be so glad you did. So that's always a good
absolutely
tech tip. So All right. Well, we're going to take a quick little sponsor break, tell you guys about another great brand that we're working with. And then we're going to get into, Megan, kind of what we like to watch and listen to on vacation and how to manage the screen time itself. So, but we're really excited to be working with Picture Keeper Connect, a perfect brand to talk about when we're talking about smart tech and family travel. So Picture Keeper Connect is a perfect solution if you have no Wi-Fi, too much data filled up on your phone, and want to get all of those photos and files off your phone or device. When you look at it, it looks basically like a fancy little USB device, but it's way smarter. So all you have to do is plug it in, and it does the rest for you. You can choose to pull just a few photos off of a phone or device, or all of them. You can choose how you organize them. I am totally bringing this on vacation this summer and using it to grab some great pictures off other family members' phones. That's something that I
Oh, what a good
because
idea.
I sometimes feel like I'm the family photographer, which makes me always on my phone and I get tired of it. But when someone else is taking the pictures, I have this like panic, like I'm not going to get to see all those pictures. So,
well, it is. Is it that's why you have like six people, like six phones make the rounds, and then you've got everyone has like sort of like a less good version.
Yes, exactly.
Of the picture because no one knows where to look. I mean, yeah, that's a really great solution for that.
And this also works on computers, on laptops and desktops. So it's both for mobile devices and computers, and it's one little device. So of course, in the show notes, we'll show you guys a picture and on social media. But I couldn't get over how tiny and yet smart it is. So it looks like a little flash drive, basically, only with connectors that will work with an Android phone, an iPhone, or a computer. And you can use it as a one-off thing, like, hey, I want to grab these old photos off of mom's computer once, or you can use it as continual backup. And once you stick it in, all the smart prompts come up to guide you through that process. So
that's cool. And you know what? That would be a perfect thing to get, like, to get the hang of using on the flight there, because you can not only get a bunch of those old photos off of your phone while you're on your way, but like it's perfect time to like learn how to use it and
and it's
get ready for the trip.
Super, super simple, such a smart idea. And I love it, especially because we've been talking about how many devices we have. This is ridiculous. We have like seven per family. So just having someone.
Do your kids take pictures on their devices ever?
You know, Allegra's starting to get into that. She has, so a little bit. But
that's another way to use it, because I will tell you, like some of our devices that are just our kids only have wound up becoming like this wasteland of photos the kids took that never get looked at again because the kids aren't in the habit of going back. And so I'll find them years later and be like, whoa, what is this? Like, what are these pictures? So I can see that could be a really cool way to use it too.
So again, it's Picture Keeper Connect. Works with your computer or any of your mobile devices. It's tiny, it's cute, and the interface is really smart and easy to use. The cool thing is Picture Keeper is offering our listeners 50% off this device. That is half off plus free shipping on orders over $50. So head to picturekeeper.com and make sure to enter the promo code TheMomHour when you get it. And that's 50% off saving. So I am, the two things I'm doing with it is I'm going to plug it into my old laptop because I think I got everything off there, but you know that nagging feeling. I think there's some videos on there that are never made it anywhere. And then I'm bringing it on vacation to, you know, steal photos from other family members who are taking them over the vacation. So
yeah,
great product. Awesome.
Great.
Okay. So
now I guess we're going to talk about how we actually, you know, do all this. We talked about what we bring, right?
Yeah.
Well, now we're going to talk about like how it actually works.
Yeah. And so, what we watch and what we listen to. And this is fun. This is, I think it's fun to be entertained and watch and listen to great stuff when you're on the road.
Yeah.
So I thought we could just kind of go through a few categories. Let's start with apps for kids. I don't think your kids are really, are they playing games on their devices, or are they mostly watching
anymore.
Stuff?
Yeah. They all have like little games that they play. What'll happen is they'll play a game for a little while, get tired of it, and delete the app before I even really know about it.
Right.
So that's not a huge focus for my kids.
Yeah. This one's is probably more me, but one thing we do is try to find a few new apps for a big trip, games for the iPad. And I like ones that don't require Wi-Fi for all the reasons we've just discussed.
Yeah.
But I am finding that more and more Wi-Fi is sort of integrated into some of these games. But either way, I wanted to mention a couple of sources for just vetting these apps and getting ideas for new ones, because new apps come out all the time. And I prefer someone else to do the research. So Cool Mom Tech, which is part of Cool Mom Picks, is I have been reading their reviews on apps since Allegra was literally 2 years old and we first let her play on an iPad for the first time. And then Common Sense Media, which we mention all the time on this show, has great reviews of apps as well as shows and movies and all that. A couple of app makers that we love that are great quality are Toca Boca. They were just at Mom 2.0, actually. I got to talk to a couple of their folks there, but they've been around a long time and their games are really open-ended creatively. They're really gender neutral. Like, both boys and girls tend to like them. They're sort of make-believe based, and Allegra's 9 and she still plays with all the Toca games. So that's the, often you can buy a bundle of them for a few dollars and it's worth paying for sure.
Okay.
Sago Mini is another really high quality line of little kid apps. So those two, and then a couple other, so we mentioned Cool Mom Tech, Geek Mom is another website to read reviews and find lists of apps. And Brian also, Brian does more of the research in our family because he likes this kind of stuff. He likes gaming. Mm-hmm. And so he always has some good ones. I'll throw a couple more of his recommendations in the show notes because he's always finding new ones now that the kids are getting older. But we do try to have something kind of novel and new for them for a big trip just because keeps them more busy.
And I want to say, like, and I'm sure you'll say the same thing, Sarah, but Clara went through this phase when she first got her own device and was able to start downloading apps where she almost got like drunk on the power of just infinite numbers of options. And right. So I had to really have like a real sit down meeting about it because she couldn't keep, like, she would download an app and then she'd play with it for a minute and be like, I don't like it anymore. And then she'd want to delete it and put another one on. And we had to set some limits around that. But one of the things that came from that was the realization that it is totally worth paying for apps. And that's a good opportunity to explain to kids, like, so there's a limited amount amount of resources we have to put into apps, and it's worth thinking about it before you actually do it. We have downloaded some truly bizarre free apps.
Yes.
They're funny. They're funny, but they're like, there was one where it was like squeezing zits or something.
Oh,
and it was
so gross. I know. It's got the worst vision.
I know. It was terrible, but it was like made, it wasn't, English was obviously not the first language of the people who designed the app.
Yes.
And the illustrators were like, you know, D level. It was hysterical, but we didn't want to be doing that all the time. It was funny the first couple of times, but.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because a couple of things that have come up for us is my two older kids who can read have learned to read reviews, which is great. It's a great way to educate your kids to, you know, not every review is perfectly accurate, but it's a good way to get a sense. And Allegra will ask for an app or tell me she's found out about an app and tell me about the reviews she's read. So that's one thing. And then we have started making them pay for their own if it's just an everyday thing. Like, for before a trip, we're likely to, you know, get a few new things and make those purchases ourselves. But if it's just a random ask, we've been like, do you have $3.99 in your room? And they're like, it's money.
Real money,
It's
so not just internet money.
Yeah, it's not like Owen's human right Wi-Fi.
Right.
A God-given right. So that's how we do apps. And I think that there's great resources online to just read up on a few new ones. And I don't vet every app myself because I trust the sources that I read about them on. And
totally.
What about music? Can you talk about your family playlists? And you guys are big Spotify users.
We are. We have a Spotify family account, which I believe has 4 users.
Okay, we'll look into that. I want to say it might be even 5.
It's 5 then.
Okay.
So I have my own, and then there's a family account. So everybody, I think everyone except for Clara has her own, and it's fine because, you know, she doesn't care. She listens to whatever we listen to.
Yeah.
But we do, we have playlists that we share back and forth. I always make sure that I save whatever is the album everyone's into. Like right now, that would be Hamilton.
Yeah.
Someone's got to have that saved.
Yeah.
Multiple people should have that saved on their phone or on their, you know, device.
Yeah.
Because you might end up in the car where you can't stream it or on the plane. And, you know, even if it wouldn't be shared on the plane necessarily, you just never know when you
And not everybody knows that about Spotify, that you can actually physically download.
Yes, you can download the stuff. But you have to go in and like toggle the little button.
You have to opt into that. Unlike the Apple Podcast that I feel like was doing it for me without my permission.
Yeah, but. And if you have it downloaded on one device, it doesn't mean it'll be downloaded on another.
Correct.
And I use Spotify on my computer and an iPad and on my phone. And there was times I thought I had something downloaded, but it was only downloaded on one of those devices and not the other. So definitely check that. Otherwise, I don't know, like our music listening thing, like our family listens to a lot of music. So, but you know, Spotify makes it easy to do that and to share it, and that's one of the things I like about it.
Do you ever listen to like the Spotify curated playlists?
I do
sometimes if I just
I
am
don't,
in the mood for something.
I don't download them though.
Typically,
they're not that great.
And they're big.
Like, yeah, they're big and usually, well, let me change that. I will take that back really quick. So I all like the, what's it called? There's the one that's just like your recommended, the weekly list where it's like, they kind of try to guess what you might like. That one is so random. Like it's kind of
based on, work for me because I play Disney audio stories.
Yes.
The time
oh man. My, so you're like you're. It's kind of like when your Netflix gets taken over by So yeah, mine knows me pretty well, but like it's sometimes just like not what I'm in the mood for because it's like this random sort of the compilation that was curated from all of the music that I ever listened to, and it's all over the place. So I don't listen to that a lot. But there now are these daily playlists that they have.
Okay.
And I can't even remember what they're called. I can look at it. They're called something like Daily Mix or something.
Okay.
And those are based on, so they're organized based on what different kinds of stuff you like.
Oh, that's,
so
I would like that. Yeah.
I think I have like 5 or 6 of them. I'm trying to get Spotify to load. Of course it's not.
Yeah.
Okay. Your Daily Mix. And I have 6 Daily Mixes.
Okay.
And they kind of group like artists together.
Oh, nice.
But those ones just like never end really.
Yeah.
Like I don't, they just,
so it's
if
almost
you start
like
listening,
the radio feature.
It's kind of like a radio station. Yeah. So I'm not even sure those are really downloadable. I think they just kind of go on. No, they're not.
I am sometimes surprised at how many people still don't have Spotify. And I'm not trying to be an evangelist because however you want to listen to your music out there, listeners, is totally fine. But I feel like for $10 a month, or it's $15 for a family plan, which is like a steal. We also have the family plan. It's like, I don't know why anyone would do anything else. I've talked about how there are short audio stories for kids on Spotify. Not big, long audio books like you'd get from the library, but all the Disney movies have like a short story version. There's every music, everything.
And if there's like some indie artist that you've hardly has any music out, it's a really good chance that they will be on Spotify. It's easy to share. There's a couple of artists that aren't on Spotify, but they're not really they're typically not on any other streaming place either because they have some deal where they don't stream. So, and that's changing. Like a lot, like the Beatles for a long time weren't streaming and now they are
now
and stuff
are.
Like that. So
Garth Brooks, I know
Garth Brooks.
My mom always asks me, I'm trying to listen to Garth Brooks on Spotify. Okay, mom.
I'm so sorry.
I like Garth Brooks too. But he is not on Spotify.
He's not on Spotify. And there's like, Bob Seger, you know, one of my very favorites, on Spotify.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Some arrangement, but he's not anywhere. And I tried to hold out, like I listened to Pandora for a long time. I think Pandora's got it's cool. It's definitely got its uses. I think it's, you couldn't really listen to Pandora without Wi-Fi, could you?
I don't think so. Not anymore. I mean, unless I'm the
radio.
Same. I switched to Spotify several years ago, so.
But it became so random. And I feel like when I listened to Pandora at some point, I would always end up on a Glee soundtrack. Always. Like all roads
or
somehow
Alleluia.
Led to Glee.
You know, the acoustic Alleluia song, that song would play on every single Pandora.
And I'd be like, this
ever.
Is so far away
That's
from what
hysterical.
I started with. How did I get to, I don't know how I got from there to here.
That's
it
hysterical.
Wouldn't really, I would try really hard. Like sometimes it's like a Broadway station. It'd be Broadway for a while. Then it's Glee. Or it's at a pop station. It's pop for a while. Then it's Glee. Indie for a while, then it's Glee. I'm like, I don't, maybe it's because Glee covers everything. And then once you're into the Glee algorithm, then you can't get out. I don't know what it was. But
you're trapped.
Just trapped.
That's hysterical.
So, So for me, Pandora is like fun, like to do on a lark. I do it at Christmas to see what comes up. But I don't like it as a music. I don't like it as my only alternative.
Yeah. And Spotify has those radio, like you can use Spotify like you use Pandora as well. Like thumbs up and thumbs down. And I don't typically do that, but Spotify, man.
Yeah.
Go get it, people.
Go get it.
Okay. Well, I want to talk about shows, watching shows or TV shows and movies, specifically about what we talked about earlier, downloading for offline access, because I'm not sure everybody knows that both Amazon Prime and now Netflix both allow you to temporarily download to your device. It was for a while, the only one I knew of that would allow you was Amazon Prime. And it's It depends based on which what you're trying to download. Some of them have a 24-hour viewing period or 48 hours. But for an airplane ride or a long car trip, that you can use your Prime membership to download Prime videos onto your device, even though it's normally a streaming service. And right. Same with Netflix. So I feel like that's the direction that streaming services are moving. And by the time this comes out, maybe there's some other streaming services that also allow for offline viewing. We watch a lot of HBO, and I don't think HBO Go has any offline viewing options.
I don't believe so either.
Yeah. But one thing I wanted to mention for shows for the kids is we try to find some like off the beaten path shows that everybody likes, but it maybe aren't in their regular rotation. So if they all wanted to watch a show, they'd probably all pick something different. You know, Violet's younger. She's into Disney Junior and The Lion Guard is her favorite show. The older kids are probably not going to be as excited, but we've downloaded old Tom and Jerry episodes. Mm-hmm. And they will all three be cracking up. Or, you know, the Disney short films that air before yeah. Disney Pixar movies. So you can get, I'm pretty sure they're on Amazon. I'm pretty sure we've gotten them for offline viewing. But a whole like hour of those Disney shorts. And those are great. So, you know, do a little homework and find something maybe that everybody will like. And that I think it cuts down on the bickering about what to watch, especially if kids are sharing a device.
This is going to sound kind of corny, but I kind of love that vacation is an opportunity to do everything a little bit differently.
Yeah, I agree.
And like find tech, like just to find entertainment you wouldn't usually, you know, we've watched old movies before yes. on vacation that we just wouldn't think to. When you're in your daily normal routine, you don't think to sometimes look for that stuff.
Yeah.
And then when you're on a trip, it's like, oh, this will be fun.
Yes.
And sometimes you're limited. Like sometimes there's limits that kind of force you to
yes.
do that.
Agreed.
As far as what can be downloaded or whatever. So I think that's really fun. That's one of the cool things about vacation to me. And that's one of the cool things about using technology on vacation.
I agree. And especially Amazon Prime has a good selection of older kids shows and movies. You kind of have to dig through. But I think if you take the expectation off that you're going to find the latest and greatest of all your kids' favorite
right.
shows, you might not. But you might find shows and movies that they end up loving that are 10 yeah. or 15 years old. So
yes, absolutely.
I want to talk about audiobooks real quick,
yeah.
which we've mentioned in other episodes, but I use both Overdrive and Hoopla, which are both apps that you access with your library card. You do not have to go to the library, and they return the digital files for you, so you cannot be late. There is often a waiting list for popular audiobooks, but again, if you're planning a vacation, you can start to get on those waiting lists however much advance as you want, you know, a couple weeks in advance, and then you'll start to get the emails that they're starting to be available. Are you guys Audible subscribers? I can't remember.
We have an Audible. Yeah, I don't use it that often. I just haven't really gotten into listening to audiobooks.
I don't either. But my kids
on trips
do.
With, okay. on trips we do like all together. Yeah. But the kids use it, and yeah. So
yeah, Brian has an Audible subscription, and he mostly uses that. But and then there's a great blog I discovered in the last 6 months. Kind of a mom blogger turned book reviewer, and her website is called whatdowedoalday.com. But she
yeah.
has so many. Do you know her? Like from blogging?
Yes, but I don't. I can't remember if I ever met her.
Yeah.
Or she's one of those people who's just been around for so long.
She didn't come to me through anyone I knew. So it was like a random discovery, but
yeah.
Her curated book lists and Sarah McKenzie from Reader Aloud Revival will link to her too, because she has a lot of book lists, but those are great. And she has whatdowedoalday.com has some great lists of audiobooks. So again,
yeah.
I'm all about finding the people who've done this already and mooching off of their hard work to find out what to do. So
yep.
we do audiobooks, and that would be something that I would download to each kid's device as something they can do kind of during their own quiet
yes.
time. We don't listen
yep.
as a family, but I know you guys have done that.
Yeah. Yeah, we have. And it was a lifesaver when we were driving out west last year, because it was really nice to have something that we could all pay attention to, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And it wasn't just, and also it took the stress off of me, because I was the navigator and passenger for most of that trip. And it made me not have to be like the DJ,
yes.
the family DJ
yes.
that mom often turns into.
Yeah.
So, mom or dad. So yeah, that was nice.
I
just having
like
one thing to put on and just let it play for 17 hours
yes.
was good.
And I feel like when an audiobook is playing, if someone didn't like it, it's a little easier to kind of zone out and chill
they
out
can
than like
out.
If someone
yep.
had music on that you hated. Like it's
yep.
just a little bit more of a neutral environment.
Yep, absolutely.
So, gosh, where should we go next?
We've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah.
I should we hit like, I don't know, how we actually handle screen time on vacation? Like, do we set limits? Do we, you know, just free for all it?
Yeah.
What's your
yeah.
take?
I free for all it on almost always the day before we leave, the travel day, and a little bit into the day after. Those are really hard days on young kids.
Yep.
I won't say I free for all on the packing day, but I definitely have to allow for some screen time on the packing day. And sometimes that has surprised me. Like, why are these kids driving me crazy? I'm trying to pack. It's like, oh, start the screen time now.
Right.
Like, this is when we need it. And then once we're settled, I usually have different rules than at home and more relaxed, but I try to have some structure. I tend to be a lot more lenient on watching shows and movies together, putting on a show or movie in the family room, wherever we're staying, or in the hotel room. I think excessive apps and gaming still makes some of my kids a little grumpy, and it's almost it's not worth the 5 more minutes, turn off the iPad. Right. You know, vacation is already, they're already out of their element. And that to me is more grumpiness than it's worth. So if I am more lenient, it's usually with watching stuff. I don't find that creates the behavior issues that a lot of.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. And for me, it's like, and this might sound completely arbitrary, but when we get to wherever it is we're staying, I would rather have the TV on something, some dumb show that we're all watching together, than for everyone to be glued to their
devices. Agree.
So it's not that they can't use them. It's just like, hey guys, we're here in this hotel room. Isn't this novel? There's a TV 5 feet from the bed. Let's turn it on and see what's on. Or like 2 years ago, we went to that cabin up north. Well, we went there last year too, but 2 years ago, there just so happened that there was, the entire time we were there, which was like a week, basically one station played nothing but The Simpsons the entire time. And it was this little, you know, kind of cruddy 13 inch TV or whatever, that had not the best signal, but it was so fun just to have that on. We had it on the entire time, and the kids didn't sit there and watch it the whole time, but some of my kids had never watched The Simpsons. So it was really fun for them to all kind of see the entire, I mean, the entire catalog of 20 years or however many years of episodes now that there are. 30? Has this show been around for like 30 years now?
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Maybe something like that, like 27 or something. Yeah, so there was like 27 years of television that they were exposed to for a week. And, you know, then we'd go outside and play in the lake. But it was, to me, that was so much more fun. And we kind of, we didn't have like a you can't be on your phone rule while we were on that vacation or any of the big ones. But it was sort of like, use it at night before you go to bed, or like, you know, as you're settling, or if you just need some space. But we asked everyone to be kind of mindful, and everyone just kind of was.
That's so nice to hear, just because we're not there yet age-wise. Right. So it is so nice to hear that it doesn't have to be like we're going off the grid, but you can, you know, you can expect a different approach to screen time than if you were at home.
And I think because my kids have never had like a super scarcity mentality about having it, like they know they're going to get it again later. Right. It's not like, it's not a free for all, but it's also not been super stringent. So I think for them, it was a little, I don't know, it was pretty easy for them to just go, oh, this is special. So this isn't the time to be on my phone doing the same thing I'd be doing at home.
Like, I love that. And I also think that we adults sometimes need the limits as much as our kids.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Brian and I are.
Sometimes more, honestly.
Sometimes more. Yeah, seriously. So Brian and I have done different things, and we're equally bad, and we will equally call each other out about it. My big thing is I love to take the pictures, and so I use it as a camera, but then I get sucked into other things. So sometimes I'll leave my phone behind and just ask someone else to take the pictures. And both of our sponsors today are great examples of how there's ways to get those pictures later if I want to leave my phone behind. Brian usually turns off his work email. I might turn off all email for at least part of some of our vacations. I don't feel like email's a huge draw for me. But I think that's I'm lying to myself, because like reading one email, especially you and I talked recently about how much we're growing our business, like reading one email can just put your mind like in a different place, even if you're not spending a ton of time. So, and then maybe like reading a physical book instead of an ebook, like whatever the sort of rabbit hole, like whatever the beginning of the rabbit hole is, whether it's taking photos or you start out reading your ebook on your tablet, but then you get sucked into Facebook, like just maybe think of little ways to sort of break that cycle, because I think we're as bad as our kids a lot of the time.
Yeah. And when I'm on a vacation, like if it's truly vacation and I'm really not working, I will couple times a day look at my email, just read the subject lines. I have found it does not for me pay to open any email on my phone while I'm on vacation, unless I am prepared to take time away to deal with it, because then it's like either, like you said, on your mind or you try to deal with it on your phone, which isn't very efficient, I don't think, for email. It's just, I'd almost rather just check for emergencies and then be done. You think you dealt with it,
you dealt with it, and then they reply back. Like then you have gotten yourself into a conversation that really doesn't need to be happening on vacation. Yep. So, and then my final thought on screen time is just lose the guilt. Like kids are doing so much on vacation often that they aren't doing at home. So I think sometimes they almost need a little bit of a break. And if a show is a good way to get a break or a good way for mom to get a break,
yeah,
then there's no guilt. So if you're, you know, if you like some structure because it kind of helps keep everybody being nice to each other, that's kind of more my thing. But whatever you allow, whether it's a full free for all or just a little relaxing or stick to your structure, just lose the guilt. You don't need to.
That.
There's no guilt.
And as far as the adults go, like I remember one of the family holidays I had where it was like a whole bunch of my family all in a house together for days on end. And at one point looking around and seeing that all the adults were on our phones, and part of me was like, well, what is this? Like we have this one time a year that we all get together and then we're all on our phones. And I thought, well, the phones are what making it possible right now for us to all sit here. If it wasn't for phones, we'd either be watching TV, probably no one's speaking to each other. It's been 3 days and we're all kind of full right now, or we'd be reading books or something. It's just one more way of kind of being together but checking out a little bit for a while. And it was almost like everyone, without speaking the words, mutually decided this is when we all take a break. No one talked to each other. We did it for probably an hour, but it worked. You got a lot of people together and you're on a different, you know, your kids too, like they are stuck together on this trip. Sometimes it's nice for people to have a place to kind of retreat. So
I totally agree. So
no guilt.
Well, we talked about a ton of products
in
this episode. So I want to make sure people know, if you're not usually the type to visit the show notes, this would be a good episode to head over there. So they're always at themomhour.com. This was episode 106, and we will link to everything we talked about, probably plus a few more things I always throw in there because we forget to talk about them, and then I'll link to them. And that becomes just a great little guide for you guys, as well as the other websites we mentioned, like Cool Mom Tech and Common Sense Media and all of those. And don't forget to check out Picture Keeper Connect and get 50% off your purchase by using promo code TheMomHour. Again, it's at picturekeeper.com. That is that clever little flash drive looking device that does so much more in getting your files and photos off of your laptops or mobile devices and wherever you want them to go from there.